welcome to I Talk to Ghosts, the podcast that knows how uncomfortable it can be to sit on the dusty, splintered floor of a cobweb-filled attic, waiting and waiting for the ghosts to appear. So instead, I bring the ghosts to you. I'm your haunted host, Jennifer, a spirit medium and a collector of ghost stories to make your heart skip a beat. I also love sharing my own paranormal experiences from my personal life and what it's like to be a spirit medium. I want to share not only the spooky, but the spiritual with you as well. We have a spectrum of experiences to discuss. Also, let me add this in. This past October, I promised I would start recording spirit readings with some podcast guests who are interested in joining me for a session. I am pleased to say that recordings have begun, and also I would like to let you know that if you submitted for a reading, please be patient. If you haven't heard from me yet, it doesn't mean you weren't selected. And also, thank you for submitting your information and wanting to be a part of the podcast. And stick around for later in this episode. I'm going to share a very special spirit reading with my guest, Jen. I am so excited to share the experience we had connecting her with her departed loved ones. It was unique and moving and beautiful. Super fascinating. And again, that is later in this episode. But first, the spooky. Settle into your cushioned chair, dear listener. The ghosts are already waiting for you. Until its closure in December of 1991, a dinner theater and restaurant operated for over 20 years in Sunset Beach, California. The restaurant was on the second floor while the theater operated on the bottom floor. The building is fairly old, and I've been told that previously it had been an Irish pub. I was a performer at the theater during its last 3 years of operation, and during that time, some rather odd happenings took place in several different areas of the building. In no particular order, these are the ghostly events. After the shows were over and the restaurant closed for the evening, the assistant manager often stayed late, going over the day's receipts. On occasion, the cast and crew in the theater also stayed late for rehearsals. On many occasions, we heard unexplainable laughter that seemed to emanate from the upper floor of the building and echo down the stairway. Also common was the experience of witnessing the elevator ascend or descend entirely on its own. These experiences happened with such frequency that one of the assistant managers actually quit because of them. One time, a female performer came running out of the ladies' room with a terrified look on her face. She claimed that she saw a man standing behind her when she looked into the mirror, only to turn and find nobody there. Thereafter, she wouldn't enter the restroom or any other restroom in the building by herself. The most unusual experiences involved the dinner theater. We would often find props preset the night before in strange places the next day. The techs would complain of unexplainable equipment problems, such as soundboard settings being preset and then changed, quirky lights and unreliable microphones that were nevertheless in perfect working order. But by far, The strangest experience happened shortly before we were informed that the restaurant and theater would be closing for good. We were in rehearsals and had stayed late one night, long after the restaurant staff closed up for the evening. We came back to the theater early the next morning to continue, to find that every piece of tape in the building had disappeared. The first thing we noticed was that all the stage markings had been removed. Then we saw that the color-coded tape markings on the microphones and the microphone stands had been removed. The tape markings on the soundboards had been removed, as had the rolls of tape in the tech booth. The manager then came in and found that even the answering machine tape had disappeared. A search of the offices and other areas of the building revealed the same mysterious lack of tape. The staff and crew of both the restaurant and the theater were questioned, but they were never able to explain this strange event. And in the end, it was just considered another ghostly shenanigan. Although my fellow performers and I have all gone on to other endeavors, when we manage to get together, the dinner theater ghost is still a frequent topic of discussion and speculation. Are you enjoying your ghostly visit? If so, please follow, like, comment, and share. The ghosts may be talkative, but they are lousy at marketing, so every click helps. Tell your friends and please leave a kind review so that others might join us. The spirits, and I thank you. Welcome back to I Talk to Ghosts. Tonight I want to share a personal story with you. It's one that's creepy and just plain weird. There was a period of time in high school when I was plagued by a disturbing, reoccurring nightmare. It was always the same dream. In the dream, I'd be lying in bed in my dark room, and this old, frail woman would come out of my closet. The door would creak open, just a crack. Through this narrow opening of the closet door, she would manage to glide into my bedroom. She would approach my bed and just stand there staring at me. This woman didn't have a mouth. She had a large, gaping, black hole where her mouth and jaw should have been. And I could hear her breathing, raspy and long and drawn out. And then the dream would end. There's another strange series of events that happened during this period of nightmares. I would sleepwalk. Now, the act of sleepwalking wasn't new to me. The first time I did it was probably around the age of 5. It freaked my parents out to have me walking and talking to them, even though I was completely asleep. But we all adjusted to it, and it didn't happen that often. But here, during this period of high school nightmares, I was sleepwalking every night. And when I do sleepwalk, I have a hazy memory of it the next day. Stronger than remembering a dream, but it's still just as illogical. In these cases, I remember wandering around my bedroom, looking around, sometimes venturing into the living room or the kitchen. I even remember going into other bedrooms and just watching my family sleep. After a few nights of this behavior, I started to really get concerned. I started locking my bedroom door before bedtime, but I would still manage to escape. I started putting heavy items in front of my door to block it, and I even tried tying my arm to the bed. And I remember in the morning waking up and remembering trying to free my arm during the night, even though I wasn't awake. Now, of course, none of these actions actually kept me from being in that altered state of sleepwalking, which is what I really wanted. I gave up, and the sleepwalking episodes and the nightmare faded and stopped. It was such a distinct period of time. I wonder what happened in the house during that time period. Was it like the anniversary of a death? Did something horrible happen there? Who was the old woman? It felt horrible. The next year, I left for college, so I wasn't in that house to see if this would repeat again or not. But I'm pretty thankful that I didn't have to go through that again. I'm completely comfortable not knowing if it would have happened again or not. Hello and welcome back to I Talk to Ghosts. I am so excited for this next segment. This is the first time I will be sharing a spirit reading with you. And a little note, before a reading, I like to come down here in this space, have a meditative moment, and call the spirits close. And even before the reading began, I got the message loud and clear that, hey, remember to come downstairs and turn on the heat. You don't want to be cold, and don't be cold, don't be cold. Go turn on the heat. And I was like, thank you. And I'm going to mention this to my guest, Jen, as well. You will find that there was a delightful connection made with that message. Here is my spirit reading with my guest, Jen. Hello, joining me tonight is my guest Jen for a spirit reading to share on the I Talk to Ghosts podcast. Jen, thank you so much for meeting with me tonight, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I love the podcast, and you know, I love all the things that are spooky, so thank you for having me.
Have you ever had a medium reading before?
I've had several different types of readings. I absolutely believe in it. I love it. I think that it's so incredible and allows us to do so much more than what we think we're capable of.
Okay. Well, speaking of all of that, I start paying attention the second an appointment is made. Messages coming in, sensations, emotions, images in my head. And then before we meet, I do take the time to create that quiet space, meditate, set the intention, call the spirits close, your loved ones who want to come and connect with you. And so I have my notebook. And let me say this. Wow, girl, you've got a party line. of individuals and such a variety of people who want to connect with you. Is that something you can relate to? Is there a variety of people that you wish to connect with today?
Absolutely. And I will say that this does not surprise me because many of the individuals departed. And then after everyone pretty much had passed, that what we'll refer to as a family secret came out. And that kind of stirred everything up. Like, lo and behold, you know, I did one of those family DNA tests and one parent is not the parent. So that stirred a whole thing.
Wow. I wanted to ask you if there at least one person in particular, but it seems like this is the consensus of your family, that there is something special about you, but in a good way. I wanted to ask if you were the youngest girl or the first girl or the only girl, that it just really felt like you are on a pedestal, and a lot of them want to brag about how amazing you are. But is there something like that?
Yes, it was. I am the only girl, so both the oldest and the youngest. In particular, everyone on my mother's side, my mother had me at a young age, and they excluded my birth father from everything. I have a younger brother who said, you know, when I told him about the family thing, he's like, oh yeah, I knew that. And it turns out he didn't. He just had that feeling. And he was like, well, this is why you were everybody's favorite. You were grandma and grandpa's favorite, and auntie, you know, and Uncle Frankie and all these people loved you because, you know, you were the one that was like, your mom chose you to stay with them. And therefore they had to, you know, they celebrated you being there.
Yeah. I wrote down Frank. Definitely. There felt like there was a Frank in there.
So Frank is my Uncle Frankie. He lived upstairs from us. We had a 3-flat in the Bronx and the Brownstone. Mm-hmm. And I always went to Uncle Frankie. He loved me so much. Mm-hmm. I loved him so much.
Yeah.
He was the most artistic person he probably shamed the most. And he tried to tell me one day that, like, you know, like, your dad's not who you think he is, kind of thing. And it just got misinterpreted. And I mean, and even my bio dad, who I know now, told me how much he loved Frankie.
Yeah.
And how special he was. And just, my Uncle Frankie kept my biological father up to date with, like, becoming who I am and stuff like
how
that,
sweet.
Even though my bio dad never had contact until literally, like, 2 years ago or 3 years ago. But it, very interesting.
Frank really just wanted to say that you were an angel to him, and he just loved you so much and really wanted to express that right away. I don't get names particularly very often, but for me to write,
he's my godfather. He's my godfather. What? That's like, thank you for that. That's so, like, you know, so amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. There are, like, I wrote down things, you are so smart. I think there are multiple individuals who think you are so smart. Do you sing at all? Someone wants to say that you have a wonderful voice and they love it when you sing, and that they can still hear you sing. So do you sing?
Yeah, they used to, Frankie in particular, and my grandparents all always wanted me to sing, and he had a love of music, and we'd go upstairs and he'd have his tuner. He'd put the music on and I'd sit there and sing with him. And it was just so incredible. He would always encourage me. He's like, sing that one song, sing this, sing that. So, they always encouraged me to keep singing and everything. So that's so great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's completely coming through. Let me see what else. They just absolutely want to brag about you. Like, we can't say enough about Jen. It's just, you know, let me go on and on and on. There was an older woman who yesterday morning, she right away reminded me that I had to turn on the heater in this room so that I wouldn't be cold. And she also gave me the impression that she did not like the cold. She liked warmer temperatures, arid temperatures, dry temperatures.
That is my grandmother, Tammy, who originally from Puerto Rico and lived her life in the Bronx, but always was complaining how cold everything was. And she had to have the heater on. She had so many blankets on her bed. But yeah, she's, you know, she always kept saying that they were going to, you know, when she was retired, she's going to move back to Puerto Rico where it was warm, or move to Mexico or something. So, yeah.
Yeah, she was very concerned. You know, she very lovingly, she was like, make sure you turn on the heat downstairs because it's going to be cold and I do not like to be cold.
Yeah, very considerate, always trying to feed people, always trying to make sure you're warm enough, you're did you get enough to eat? Did you do this? Did you do that? Typical grandmother type.
Well, it was very helpful because I normally do forget, and like I should turn on the heat like an hour before I'm even thinking about being down here, and like 2 hours before I had to come down here. She's, make sure you turn on the heat. I'm like, okay. So this may be related to her or not, but I definitely got the feeling that this was an elderly lady. She was sh People show me their shoes a lot. I think it's because we see them so much in life. You know, we see our shoes that we're wearing. Did you have anyone in your family who wore, and this would be a woman, like a dark leather shoe with like a lace to it? The kind of shoe like you look at it and you're like, that doesn't look comfortable. Why do you always wear these shoes?
Like the Victorian booty lace-up type of thing is she had,
Yeah.
yeah, so like she had like little like lacy boot ups, like boots that were like, and
Your
it was,
ankle.
yeah, like, yes, exactly, like an mid-ankle boot that she would wear because she used to work in the city, but she had those. And then in the house, she always had slippers on, so her chambles, because
Yes.
she'd be
I was definitely seeing the
chilly.
slippers. And was she a fan of the house dress as well?
Yes, she always wore them around the house. And just, I mean, like I said, there's always food ready for you, whether you told her you were coming or not.
I had a lineup of people ready to tell me about their ailments. I had gotten the impression that someone had had it, and I'm just going to rattle these off, and you can speak to them if you would like. I got a issue with lungs, breast cancer came in loud and clear, heart attack, skin cancer, maybe undiagnosed. A little bit of senility. And then someone was talking about bad blood. They had dirty blood. I don't know if that means anything to you at all. They described it as dirty blood.
So, I'll start with the dirty blood. My grandfather was a veteran and he was in the VA hospital and he had Parkinson's. He was there, he was staying over for a procedure, and my aunt went to go visit him, and she said that on the door, two doors down, there was like a biohazard thing. And then she had found out the next day when she went that the person in that room, the biohazard stickers had moved two or three doors down. And then on the third day, his door had the biohazard sticker, and it was something that the person had a blood disease or something, and they all died. And that's actually how my grandfather died. That might be what that bad blood meant. The heart attack, my uncle Frankie had a heart attack, and it was sudden, and nobody knew that it was coming. He had asthma as well. And
Okay, that explains the lungs.
yeah, there was cancer, I think, in the lungs, is what they ended up saying as well. So, and then my grandmother, she started towards the end to become a little bit more, she had a little bit more of the dementia and the senility. The skin cancer is kind of funny because it was my grandfather's sister. She had some melanoma and stuff like that, but she and I have the same birthmark right here. And when I was younger, they kept saying, you always get checked for your skin cancer, always get checked. So I actually am due for it. So thank you for the reminder, everyone.
That is so interesting because I was going to ask you if there was a story with a mole.
Yeah, we have the same little beauty mark right here on the corner of our lips. And my grandmother used to always come up to me and lick her finger and try to scrape it off. And I'm like, Grandma, Mama, no, it's like for real, it stayed there. Don't wipe it off. That hurts. You're gonna make me bleed.
That is so funny because it was very much like, ask about the story about the mole. I'm like, okay, what's the mole? You know, so then immediately when someone says, ask the story about the mole, you think, what's with the mole? But no, this is a nice story. Okay. Oh, that's so great. Moving on to other things, I'm just consulting my notes here. Oh, Frank, by the way, with the heart attack. He, you know, heart attacks are very sudden. He really felt like he wanted to convey, oh, it's okay. I don't know if that sounds like him or not, you know, and really wanted to be a little reassuring about that. Someone wanted to convey that they were sorry. They just wanted to apologize that they weren't able to be there physically with you when you were going through a difficult time. Is that a message that connects for you?
One of my really, really good friends passed away. Her name is Amy. I went through a divorce and it was crazy. And it just kind of sucked. And I felt very alone during that time. And Amy was going through her stuff. I didn't want to be a burden to anybody. So, keep everything quiet. But she and I were able to reconnect right before she moved down to Austin. And I had so much regret about, not being like not calling her and talking to her and stuff like that. And I remember she told me that she was sorry that like she wasn't there for me more. So that sounds like her. That sounds like my sissy.
Was there anyone who did smoke tricks?
So both Frankie and Amy could, Frankie smoked, like actually smoked more than a pack a day and would do like rings and stuff like that. That was really cool. But Sissy would do, she would do like, she used to smoke and then we vaped for a long time. So she was doing tricks and stuff like that.
I was just seeing some. Yes, definitely the smoke circles, but there seemed to be some more intricacy to it than that. I swear I saw like a spiral or something.
Okay. So that is probably going to be Amy. She would like, I kept begging her because Frankie used to do the smoke rings. So I'd be like, how do you make a smoke ring? So she showed me how to do the smoke ring. And then she was like, she took a long drag and she like did like this, like she did a ring, but then like it kept coming out of her mouth. And as it's moving away, it was like extending. And it was like the coolest thing. And I'm like, I need to learn how to do that. But I never learned how to do that. And then she also could do that whistle, like where you put your fingers in and it's a really loud whistle. I can't do that either, and I always wanted to learn from, what does it
Special whistle.
say?
Special whistle.
She
I was going to ask you
can
about the special whistle. Yeah,
it. That's
she's
so cute.
definitely coming through for you.
Oh,
I
that's
mean,
so
to. Yeah, because these two things came in sequential order. It was like the smoke tricks, and then, yeah, I was like, special whistle? Who has a special whistle? I'm like, I guess I get that. But yeah, it wasn't just like a little tune ditty. It was like, wow, that's impressive.
Oh, she could do that, like, I don't even know. You put like your fingers in your
Yeah,
mouth and it's like that
I can't do
loud whistle, like
it.
a rain whistle, like you're like, holy, like we would be with kids and stuff like that, and she would clear the room, everyone would be quiet because she could do that. And I'm like, I gotta learn how to do that one day. And she tried teaching me and I've got like my fingers in my mouth and drool coming out of my mouth and it just wouldn't work. But that was like her like signature, like she could get your attention.
I was going to ask you if you knew someone who burned a little too bright. She was just a very bright, dare I say,
Very
reckless
reckless, very
individual.
like every time she'd do things and I'd be like, Sissy, what are you doing? And she just, I mean, she was she wasn't long for here, I mean, she passed away very early in her 40s. And yeah, that was she absolutely, I love the way you said it. She burned out fast and she burned out too bright very quickly. So, but she was a little bit reckless. I think that's what everybody loved about her.
These experiences are so fascinating to me because there are so many specific things that connect just to you. I feel as if I got to hang out with you and your family this evening and got to meet people and hear people's stories.
Me too. I am, because normally I was expecting the like, I'm not sure what she's talking about. I'm not sure what to connect with it. But every single thing you said, I was like, oh, I know what that is. And that's never happened before. So that's really amazing and incredible to me. So thank you so much for, and I kept thinking, I'm like, I wonder if anybody's going to come through. And I mean, you got pretty much all of the amazing people.
Yeah, they're all there and chatterboxes, really.
That's my family, yes.
I do have a final message that they did want to give to you. before we part this evening. And that was, I wrote this down for you. It says, seek something big, manifest an opportunity. They're going to, they see you being celebrated for some accomplishment. So I don't know if you have an inkling of what this is, or if you're resolving yourself to challenge yourself to step into a new role or level up, but you're going to be manifesting something, and they're like, do it. You're so gifted. You're so talented, and you're going to be celebrated for it. So hopefully that is a message that it resonates with you, is what I want to say.
So I have the biggest smile on right now because I'm in my job. I love it, but I also feel like there's something bigger out there, and I'm trying to make that shift. It's so big and scary, but it's something that, like, I feel like I'm like, there's something else that I'm supposed to be doing. So looking to make that career change and even, like, you know, make a move if I have to, whatever needs to be done, you know. It's so funny because I was like, give me a sign that there is something better out there for me that I should be doing. So thank you for that. That I appreciate that. And that definitely, thank you for the sign, everyone. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. The first thing they said is seek something big. You know, write that down, put it on your fridge, and don't doubt it. But they see you, and they want to encourage you. You know, seek something big. What do you want to manifest? They see you as being celebrated. So believe in it and be it, you know, because it's absolutely true.
Thank you so much. This was such an amazing time with you and with my family. I really appreciate it. And it's like so perfect because I needed everything you said. Thank you.
I'm completely honored to share this experience with you, and the fact that you trust me to do it, you know, it's just fabulous, and I can't trade it for anything. And it means so much to me that this was able to happen for you.
Thank you. Really, truly, like, this is like, I have this big smile on now, and I feel like I can start my week and do the things that need to be done. So I really appreciate you, Jen, for like so much. And I obviously love the podcast and everything that you do and all the spooky stories. And this
Thank
is just
you.
Such a gift. Thank you for sharing your gift with all of us and me. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, you are so sweet. Would you like to receive a free spirit reading with me? Enter for your chance at italktoghosts.com/guest. Each week, I'll randomly select a name from the list to be a guest on the show. Together, we will talk to the spirits who wish to communicate with you, and our session will be featured on a future episode of I Talk to Ghosts. The spirits are waiting. Enter now at italktoghosts.com/guest. And with that, dear listener, we've reached the end of this episode of I Talk to Ghosts. I hope you've enjoyed these stories this evening. And wherever you go in your journeys, in this life or the next, just remember, come back and visit me. Have a lovely evening and good night.